Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining on short notice the investor call of the Lenzing Group. The Lenzing Managing Board took yesterday evening the decision to temporarily mothball the lyocell expansion project in Mobile, Alabama. Now, in essence, there were two developments that we saw over the coming months that triggered these decisions. On the one hand, the trade tension among the major economies elevated the risks of import tariffs for lyocell exports from the U.S. You know, we have today around 52,000 tons already in the U.S. Adding another 90,000 tons, we do have a global network, but we felt with the recent developments that the likelihood of substantial import tariffs into China would weigh heavily on the project. Most of the textile exports of China to the U.S. are today already impacted, so we do expect that our products would be impacted going forward. Now, that in its isolation would have been a development that we would have felt comfortable with and comfortable to proceed with the project, with the time plans. However, paired with development number two, we felt that the risk balance gets out of balance. Now, the second development was the substantial increase in investment activities in the U.S. Gulf Coast. We saw that labor cost and labor availability in the Mobile, Alabama region was becoming an increasing subject for the project. We have seen quotes of suppliers of various packages that increased in part by a factor two, simply because labor availability and hourly rates have surged, where in some instances we would have expected at the start of the project a $40 hourly rate. We have been confronted with hourly rates north of 70, simply because labor availability in the region was in short supply. And in the combination of the two developments, we have decided to take this decision. Now, so far, we have committed less than half of the original budget of $293 million. Those commitments can be split in three buckets. The one bucket is the engineering bucket. Second bucket are commitments that are directed very much to the site, such as civil foundations and the like, that are tied to Mobile, Alabama. And the third commitments are to equipment that can be redirected at any other site. Now, the engineering in itself will be brought to a point that whenever we restart the project, we can just press the button. So its value will be retained. And on top, it's a very important input factor for all the subsequent projects. The commitments towards the site will be mothballed equally, that they can be reused at any future moment in time, and some of the already installations, such as warehousing, will be used by the ongoing and existing operations over there. And number three, the equipment that can be redirected, that is in part in containers ready to be shipped or even at the site, can be redirected to another location. Now, for us as a group, we will continue to implement our strategy, the specialty fiber growth, whether it is the expansions that we just finalized in Heiligenkreuz, the Modal expansion at the site, that we continue with all our branding and pricing initiatives, as well as the backward integration and so on in our pulp site. However, the lyocell staple fiber expansion plan with this decision will get delayed. So we don't expect, other than the 25,000 tons from Heiligenkreuz that we have just brought to the market in the third quarter, we don't expect any additional volume for the period 2019 and 20. We are now working on our, as you know, we have our project in Thailand that we started in parallel. We're now going to redirect some of the resources that were in Mobile, Alabama, also towards this project, and in parallel over the coming month work on what parallel actions we can take to help to support the market growth. With that elucidation, I would like to stop from my side and open the floor to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions, only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Stefan Tubic of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question would be, obviously, you said that obviously half of the budget, $150 million, has been invested already in mobile. How much would still be needed to complete the construction? Just to understand what you said, that if you were to continue, there could be substantial cost overruns. Is there maybe also an impairment risk now, as you invested already some money there? Related to that also, could you remind us, I mean, what contract structure, what did you use there? I mean, because in the past, I mean, you had your own engineers to protect your IP and the Liocell technology. What contract structure did you use now? What are you doing basically to avoid a similar situation in Thailand? Are there repercussions from this project for Thailand? Maybe the CapEx projections are also a bit higher. Can you give us a timeline for that project in Thailand? Because you still haven't kicked it off. When can we expect a ramp up, construction start, and also CapEx ideas? And is this also affecting your PARP expansion? Because obviously now with the US volumes being significantly lower, do you also see now less urgency to push forward your vertical integration project? Thank you.
Okay, we'll try to get to most of those questions. Let me start by some of the strategic questions that you asked. On the pulp expansion, we don't see an impact. That is a decision that will, I think, be not influenced, yes, from the captive demand for at least the 2 years that I said we will have now the 90,000 ton less at the moment when we will be up and running with pulp. It could be that we have caught this up. As I said, we still need to see how those plans get finalized. But in itself, the pulp expansion, we will continue to go ahead as we do. Now, with respect to the financial question, Thomas, impairment and the like, can you maybe get to that?
Yeah, basically, as Stefan pointed already out, the amount we committed so far actually can be divided into three different buckets, one being engineering, the other one being investments related to the civil foundations, and the third bucket being location-independent equipment. The location-independent equipment anyway can be redirected to another site, so therefore there's no need for any impairment. And the other ones, like engineering, but also the investments related to the civil foundations, they will basically all retain their value. I need to come back to the statement Stefan made at the very beginning. The decision is to mothball the project. We are not saying that we cancel the project. We mothball the project for the time being, and therefore actually our assumption is that engineering and investment to the civil foundations will basically remain or retain their value.
Now, maybe Heiko, some words on the execution mode that we have used
yeah.
there.
Mr. Drubrich, you are right. Lenting executed the first jumbo line in an owner's execution mode. And in Mobile, Alabama, we choose, because that's not our home base, an EPC, engineering procurement construction service provider, and we aimed at having a guaranteed maximum price. Now, in the current economic environment, such a price is only given at the end of the detailed engineering, and we saw, as Stefan Dobotsky already explained, surging local costs reflected in these first initial bids, and that led us to the conclusion, together with the trade implications, that we would not continue with this project. You were asking on the execution mode in Thailand. The same holds true for Thailand, but we have the firm belief that the engineering procurement and construction service industry in Asia goes by a different logic. Here it is absolutely industry practice to have an extended basic engineering and to engage an EPC contractor based on that, either in a way where engineering and procurement is lump sum and construction is on time and material, or if possible, in a lump sum approach. That is to be decided at the point in time when we have had more insights into the local market in Thailand.
Now, where do we stand in Thailand? In Thailand, we have now we have the land, we have leveled it. Our teams there are working now on the permitting and the basic engineering. However, it will still take us a couple of months until we come with the final investment proposal and investment decision.
But do you think that the investment in Thailand will be higher than you initially guided? You said, I think, if I recall correctly, a bit more than in the U.S., obviously. What would have been if you would have continued in the U.S.? With which price would you have ended up in total that you decided to completely mothball it at this stage? Because I'm a bit surprised, because labor costs don't increase in a short period of time, and obviously with H1 results, everything was apparently fine, and now out of a sudden we face the risk of cost overruns. I mean, how significant would they have been? Is it a 50 million, 100 million, 200 million? Just to give us a number here, and maybe relate that to Thailand, please.
Yeah, maybe two comments. First of all, the labor cost development. This is not just a question of what is the individual worker pocketing in his home base. The challenge that you face is if labor markets dry up, and I think there are other quite prominent projects out there that have the same issue. If labor markets dry up, contractors are forced to ship in labor from other parts of the United States. And you have two consequences. First of all, you know, your labor efficiency goes down, so you see more hours. And the second one is that in the per diems and the like, you suddenly get substantial surcharges. So even though the individual worker might not have a totally different salary bill or paycheck, the costs for a customer significantly change. And we are speaking here not a factor of 20% or so. You have offers coming in, there are in part 2x of what you could have expected at a different moment in time. Now, when it comes to Thailand, we have a different situation in Thailand from two aspects. First of all, now, I don't want to start now comparing Thailand to US, because in Thailand we are not yet there that we have sent out requests for quotations, so we will not guide yet precisely. However, the one thing that I would state, and that's something that we also mentioned when we spoke about Thailand, this will be a site where we plan for more than one lyocell plant. So in terms of the investment in infrastructure and outside battery limit, we will see in the first site a different kind of investment, because we also prepare for different things. But detailed expectations, I would really like to share once we actually get also, I think, the final, when we get into the submissions stage to start the project.
Okay, and technologically, everything. I mean, how far did it come? I mean, was no equipment installed at all? So basically, you feel comfortable because if I recall correctly, you always said that this Alabama 90,000 ton line should serve as a pilot for Thailand. So obviously, you don't have the trial now that this design works. How comfortable are you that basically with Thailand being then the pilot for this size of plant, that this will work out?
I think there we are very confident. I think all the technologies that would have been used in Mobile, Alabama have been tried either in existing plants or now in the expansion in Heiligenkreuz. So from a technological point of view, from our ability to build and start up a 90,000 ton line, given that we're now running north of 70,000 here at our site in Lansing, that is for us that we have no doubt. But it is in essence the combination of those two effects. If it simply would have been cost increase and the current US environment, we would have said, okay, let's bulldozer through. In the grand scheme of things, not nice, but we will do that. But we have always used the U.S. also from as a hub to export to Asia. And what we are now seeing on the trade tariff side, I think, needs to make us cautious in the combination of those two factors. It's not something that, as a managing board, we like. It's not in the sense of, would we like to have product today? But at the same time, we feel it is of absolute importance also towards our shareholders that if we see this development, if we balance the risks, we say at this moment in time, it's not wise to proceed as planned. And does this mean that if a year and a half, the situation looks different, that we will restart? No, not at all. We are bringing everything to a point that we just would need to push the button and go. So I think, even so it's maybe a difficult decision, it is a wise decision not to run into something that, at least from the current development, doesn't seem like just a very balanced risk profile.
Okay, very clear. And could we just get an idea now of the repercussions on group capex for 2018, what we should pencil in, and also for 2019 with basically what has been announced so far, that we can align our cash flow estimates with your planning?
For 19, we do not give any guidance yet because actually we are currently in the middle of our budgeting process. It will, of course, highly depend on the pipe project, of course. However, for coming back to 18, we already said, I think, in the call for the half year numbers that we will not be reaching 300 million. At this point in time, I would say it will be around 200 or slightly above 200, roughly.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger of DB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie, gents. So just a clarification point. I think the cost overruns you're talking are the project costs, right? It's not about the labor costs on the operating side running the project. So it's basically your EPC contractors have basically a lot of demand and the costs are surging. So my question here is, you built the existing lyocell capacities in the U.S. with your Lansing Technic capacity. So it's basically, I don't know, how do you see the decision to cut Lansing Technic in the light of the expansion projects you're facing? And I mean, isn't this the same for Thailand? You're basically employing the same EPC contractors and the costs there might also jump up, right?
Well, if you refer to Lenzing Technik still is the provider of the IP critical equipment. So that remains. However, having a construction workforce to build a 300 million project cannot be at the core of Lenzing. So investing outside the headquarters would always, and we are no different from the other big companies, whether it's the Dow or BASF, we will invest by the use of an EPC contractor. But there is substantial difference between the U.S. Gulf Coast environment and Thailand. So we don't see the same surge in local labor rates as we have experienced it in the U.S. coast, based on the reasons elucidated by Stefan Dobotsky. We don't see that in Thailand, and Thailand has seen a fair amount of large capital project investments in the chemical industry, some of them cutting-edge technologies. So we believe it is possible, and we will be able to manage that with an EPC contractor.
Okay. And then maybe on the tariffs, can you give us some details? What's happening? Are there already tariffs in place in China on lyocell fibers, or what's the status in detail?
You currently have a tariff of 5% into China. However, our intelligence suggests that there are various products that are targeted, and given the interest of China in lyocell, we think it is more than likely, after the textile industry at large of China has been very much hit by the recent developments or the recent tariffs of the U.S., this would fall under such a category. Now, equally, we already see now signs that cellulosic fibers, wood-based cellulosic fibers into the U.S. Fall under the threat of, you know, experiencing the same fate. So, again, Mr. Pfeifmeier, what we see is that the likelihood of trade tariffs has now risen to a point that we think it is not wise to proceed in this, you know, in the planned fashion.
Okay. Another question is: is there a plan, like a backup plan, where you expand the tensile capacities on the home side?
No.
I know you wanted to move closer to Asia, but we're not going to get any capacities probably until 2022, like in a bigger scale. So is that something you could expedite at this stage?
No, I would put it that way. We have one project currently that is in progress, and that is our lyocell expansion in Thailand. And that's what also we mentioned in the press release. We are working now in parallel. What are all the other options that we have, you know, parallel after Thailand? What would be all the trigger points to reactivate Mobile, Alabama? And that basket of options we are now in the process of evaluating.
Okay. And the last one, since we have you on the line, sorry for my voice, it's basically Sattery. We still haven't seen a tangible impact on the viscose prices, so basically they're still not out of the woods launching their plants. Have you had some new intel there? There's obviously no press releases, nothing, so we're really relying on you there.
Yeah. As you might remember, we had announcements out there in the market that were north of 1.3 million tons for this year from various competitors, and we have guided it will be between 600 and 900,000 tons. At the moment, we think this was a very good guidance, maybe towards the lower end. What we do know that some of the decisions of the Indonesian government with respect to availability of forests on Sumatra doesn't make it necessarily easy to rely long-term on the dissolved wood pulp out of this market. So for sure this puts tension on the decisions. However, we still work with the expectation that the major announcements, including those of Sattery, will come, but as already guided early on, this will come over a much more, you know, prolonged period of time rather than just, you know, two big chunks. Now, having said that, viscose margins, even at the current prices, it's always important to bear in mind the caustic. Yeah.
Okay,
caustic
so
prices remain very high. So it's
it was basically one of the other Chinese having done a smaller ramp up, but not Sattery at this stage.
We have seen volumes of Sattery in China coming in. We have seen Tangshan volumes coming in. We have seen volumes of others. But all together, we still haven't reached the full 600 KT mark yet. We think that by the end of the year, we will just be around this volume bracket.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is from the line of Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for offering this conference call on the topic. One clarification regarding the impairments, Mr. Omdrauf. Shall we rate your comments that an impairment is excluded at all, or just that the risk for any bigger impairment is rather small? And the second thing is when it comes to the share of exports from the plant site in Alabama to Asia to China, what was the planned share of production to be exported from the USA to China? Practically everything, or is there a certain share you can comment on?
Maybe Thomas, you take question one.
I mean, let me start with question one. Actually, I mean, our expectation is that there shouldn't be any material impact on the group. I mean, I need to come back and repeat the opening statement from Stefan. Actually, the decision is that we temporarily mothball the project. We are not canceling the project. And actually, therefore, we believe, well, the assumption is that actually everything almost everything that we invested so far in engineering and all the investments that are related to the civil foundations, all those investments should basically retain their value. Can there be minor impairments? Probably yes. However, at this point in time, I wouldn't expect anything significant. Maybe one more thing to mention in this regard. I mean, of course, we will be revisiting our decision regularly. And as Stefan pointed out before, I mean, once the circumstances are the right ones, actually, well, we should be ready to press a button and then just go ahead with the project again.
On the second question, Mr. Maurer, we would have expected net more than 90,000 tons, also including the old site, the existing site, more than 90,000 tons going out, and pretty much all of that going to Asia, China being still by far the biggest market. As I said, we have a very global footprint, so we felt that some part of that we could have redirected. However, clearly not as much that we can say, yeah, we're immune to such development. So overall, the site that we are building there, the 90,000 ton plant, is a pure export-oriented site. And the reason why we have chosen, if you remember years ago, it was very much linked to, okay, there we have already a site, we have the respective permits, and we already we also have some advantage then of being a bit more globally balanced with our foreign exchange exposure. Now, at this moment in time, frankly, we need to look differently at those trade tensions, as I mentioned before.
Excellent. Thank you for the clarifications.
If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Stefan Dobolsky for closing comments.
Okay. So thank you very much all for joining. Maybe final statement that I would like to make. We will continue with the Lenzing strategy as we have laid it out. I think we have a fantastic growth environment. We have attractive prices in return, even so the viscose environment is anything else but attractive. We will continue to forge ahead with this strategy. At the same time, we had often discussion with you about, okay, don't you overtake it? What if you hit roadblocks? What will you do if you get maybe financially into a squeeze or so? And our continuous answer was, we will readjust our plans because they're all individually digestible pieces. They all hang together, but they're pieces that we can play with in terms of timing, accelerating and delaying. Now, here we hit the roadblock from an environment that we didn't have when we take a decision. And now as a managing board, we took the decision to react to these developments and adjust the timing. And we will continue to do so in acceleration and deceleration in order to protect the best interests of the group and shareholders. Thank you very much for your interest, and I wish you a very good day.